Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. On today's program, I am airing a pre-recorded interview with Sharon Sattell, the widow of Jonathan Sattell. As you know by now, Jonathan passed almost a year ago, April of 2023, and he was definitely one of my favorite recording artists. So I'm going to play a lot of his music during this program, and I know you'll really enjoy the interview with Sharon. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Also, something really important for you to put on your calendar. This would be the March of Remembrance, which is an annual walk to remember those who were lost in the Holocaust, to educate the generations that are unaware of what happened in the Holocaust. And we are raising our voices against modern-day anti-Semitism. So it's a very important event. It's going to be on May 5th at Shema Yisrael, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton. We're having a service at 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m., and then the march would be following after. If you have any information needed, if you want to contact someone about it, you would want to contact Ava at rocmor2017@gmail.com or at 585-340-7360. So that is the March of Remembrance on May 5th at Shema Yisrael, and I'll be mentioning it more in the weeks to come. Thank you. How do I even begin to pick out my favorite songs from Jonathan Sattell? There are so many. Here is the Hallelujah Medley. I know you're going to love it.
Hallelujah et Adonai, kol goyim shavehu, kol ha'umi. Gavar alenu chazdo ve'emet Adonai le'olam. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah et Adonai, kol goyim shabechu kol ha'umim. Ki gavar alenu chazdo ve'emet Adonai le'olam. Hallelujah.
goy el goy jerem lo ir medud mil jama lo isa goy el goy jerem lo ir medud mil jama lo isa goy el goy jerem lo ir medud mil jama lo isa goy el goy jerem lo ir medud mil jama lo isa goy
Jonathan Sattell, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
A little over a year ago, I had a computer crash. All of my Bagels and Blessings files, music, and tags, such as the one you just heard, were pretty much burned up or lost. And I was frantic, and I had to dig into the archives and find old radio programs and look for different things. And I was so happy when I found the tag that you just heard. I wouldn't want to lose that ever. I'm so excited that you're with me today. You're going to hear an interview with Sharon Sattell, the beautiful widow of Jonathan Sattell. But we're going to enjoy his music for a little while longer. And thank you for listening. Here's another one of my favorites. This is Hine Matov, and you'll recognize it. It's from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Hine matov umanayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov umanayim, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לא 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 לא. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לא 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 לא. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב ומה נעים, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב,
טוב שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שבת אחים גם יחד שבת אחים גם יחד.
Oh, what an amazing voice. Oh, I just love that voice. I'm so blessed to have his music. Here's a word from one of my sponsors, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. When I was considering whether or not Yeshua might be the Messiah, one of the most shocking scriptures in the Jewish Bible was Isaiah 53. Why hadn't anyone ever shown me that before? When you read it, you see a description of a suffering servant who was wounded for our sins. And I've always loved this beautiful arrangement. This is, again, Jonathan Zittel.
Who has believed our report? And to whom is shown the arm of the Lord? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, a root out of dry ground. There was nothing attractive to draw us to him. He was despised and we did not care. Like sheep, we have all gone astray. And each of us has turned to his own way. He was oppressed and afflicted, but did not say a word, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he bridled his own
I love the song, and I really love the scripture. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed that prayer over someone else or even myself. By your stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. I hope you're enjoying today's program. Stay tuned for my interview with Sharon Satel. But right now, here's a word from Earl Schillinger.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem right now. We're praying for the release of the hostages. And one of my favorite songs about Israel is Jerusalem of Gold. And I love this arrangement. Enjoy.
The olive trees that stand in silence upon the hills of time, to hear the voices of the city as bells of evening chime. The shofar sounding from the temple to call the world to prayer. The shepherd pauses in the valley and peace is everywhere. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, forever young, forever old, my heart will sing your songs of glory. Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Shel Zahav, Vishel Nechoshet, Vishero, Alolechon. The water well for those who thirsted, the ancient market square, your golden sun that lights the future for all men. How many songs, how many stories the stony hills recall. Around her heart my city carries a lonely ancient wall. Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lechol. V'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lechol shirayich ani kinur. And far away beyond the desert a thousand suns will glow. We shall be going to the Dead Sea by way of Jericho. My simple voice cannot acclaim thee, to weak the words I choose. Jerusalem, if I forget thee, may my right hand its cunning lose. Yerushalayim shel zahav v'shel nechoshet v'shel or halo lechol shirayich ani kinor. ושל נחושת ושל אור הלו לכל שירייך אני קיני
And now here's Ani Ma'amin, which means I believe. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That is such a fun song. And I never knew for sure what he was saying at the end, but it sounded like, oh boy. I have great memories of him coming to Rochester, New York to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And I remember we were just dancing all around the room as he was singing, and there was so much joy. It was just amazing. I just have such fond memories. All right, well, we have time for one more song before the interview, and let me see what I come up with. A little bit of trivia for you. Most of these songs are on my playlist. So as I'm driving along, I just connect my iPhone to my USB port, and I listen to these songs, and I smile. Here's O Lord God of Israel. When I hear his voice, I feel peaceful. I feel calm. And when I hear the scriptures, I feel like God has anointed his voice, and it just penetrates my very soul. I hope that is also your experience. Well, thank you for your patience, because right now I'm bringing you my wonderful interview with Sharon Satel. Sharon Satel, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much. I'm pleased to be your guest. And Ethel, I just wanted to let you know right off from the beginning, Jonathan loved you so much. He loved Ethel Chadwick and Bagels and Blessings.
Aww.
I mean, for him, that was, you know, it was just that Jewish thing that he adored. And so I just want you to know that. I've never told you that.
Oh, thank you so very much. You know, he was very special to me, and I have so many of his songs on my playlist in my car. So, like, he's with me every day when I'm on the road going anywhere.
I understand. Mm. Forgive me in advance if I break down.
I think that's...
I have moments.
Oh, that's perfectly allowed, you know. And it's wonderful to talk to you, the woman behind the man, you know. And I'd love to learn a little bit about you. Like, what was little Sharon like? Tell me about growing up. You know, tell me about your faith growing up. I know you grew up in a non-Jewish home. Is that correct?
That is correct. I grew up in a believing home, Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist. So if you can put all that through your head, and here I am today. It was quite interesting. Private school all my life. And so when I graduated, I was ready to take off and find the world I wanted to find. And that's when Jonathan fell into my life. But I must say, it was a very strong believing home. Oh. And they were serious about their beliefs. And so that's all I really knew at that point.
Well, you know, I like to ask people that grew up in a believing home, if there was a point in time when you made your own decision to accept Christ into your heart, as, you know, separate from just the way your parents taught you, was there a moment
Correct.
In time?
Yes, there was. About sixth grade, I would say, I personally had an experience where I asked the Lord into my heart. It was one of my teachers. But that was just part of the plan that I had already known within my family. My life and their life, that there would be a time I would invite, you know, Jesus back then as I knew it into my life and heart. And that's when I had done that, when I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
And that's part A of my walk with the Lord.
Aww. Now, I remember Jonathan's story, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was in the hospital and you were his nurse, and that's how he met you. Is that correct?
Oh, that's correct. Fast forward. So I graduated from high school. I was only 19, and I pretty much knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to try out the medical field, so I did, and I'm just going to cut it all short for you. I wanted to try the medical field, so I enrolled in a program at the local hospital there, that day, February 11th, I had signed in, got my reports for the day, and was given room 219 bed B. And so one by one, you go and introduce yourself to all your patients. And mind you, this is a geriatric ward that I was on. Yes. And I had bed 219, bed B, and went in, and I was quite shocked to find somebody there that was not over like 70 years old, and it was Jonathan Satel, and he was far from geriatric, and I remember introduced myself, we had an instant connection, and that was quite obvious, and we an instant chemistry. And he was there, unfortunately, because he had overdosed on cocaine. Okay. And he had a collapsed lung. So he wasn't jumping around much, but he was, you know, flat on his back. So he was there a couple of days before I actually was able to communicate too much with him. So we met, and I knew by the third day, I was standing at the end of his bed, and the Lord, he did not audibly tell me this. I would never say that. He came over me. Something came over me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and looked at him, and said, "That's your husband.
Wow.
That's your husband." And I was 19. He was 29. I didn't understand any of it, because everything I knew about him, reading his chart, the whole nine yards, everything I knew about him was the opposite of what I was taught to do for so many years. And I mean, it was like run and run fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a musician and the drugs and the whole thing. Anyway, I, you know, stood firm. And with that, never told anybody except my best friend. And, you know, I finally told him the night before he checked out. I just very shyly said, you know, the Lord told me you're going to be my husband. And of course, he thought I was really crazy. So, and I came in the next day to my shift. And that night I was thinking to myself, okay, Lord, if I'm really crazy and, you know, whatever it was, then show me. So the next morning, I came upstairs. I was parking my car downstairs, smaller hospital, and he was like on the second floor, and it only had like five or six floors. And I never do this, but I looked up and I knew the position of his window and which floor it was. And standing in the window was him. That was Jonathan, standing in the window, and he was looking down, watching, I assumed, for the cart, or maybe just to get out of bed and look. But he was looking, and I looked up, and he was standing there in his window. His bed was next to the window, and I gave a little wave. He gave a little wave, and it took me, you know, 15, 20 minutes to get upstairs, get report, and then go around to my patients. And I finally got around to him, and well, that's the beginning of the story.
Oh, you know, this is like a movie, like a romantic movie, a fairy tale. I mean, incredible.
Oh, and absolutely.
I can only imagine, like, I can't, like, just tell, hey, Mom, Dad, I met this drug addict, he's a musician, and he's gonna be my husband, you know.
That's exactly right. There wasn't a way on earth I could tell. I didn't even know if I could tell my best friend. And because she was raised in the same school I was raised in the same way, the whole thing. And finally, you know, I got it all out. He left the hospital, and I thought, wow, that's strange, because he didn't ask me for my phone number. But he had left while I was off shift. So the next morning I came in, and he was on the fourth day or whatever it was. And I said, okay. I was a little disappointed. But then, like, 2 days later, I heard this noise coming down the hallway, the sound of shoes that were not part of our staff or team. You just don't hear the shoes like that. So, okay, somebody's guest, you know, coming to see them. And I was in a room, and I turned around and looked. And he's standing outside the door of that room. He said, "I forgot to get your phone number."
Oh my gosh! I bet your heart just.
I know. Oh. It's just one of those stories. It's like everybody has a love story, but this was just unique. It was just it's one in a lifetime. And so our journey began, 1976.
And I know you were instrumental in him coming to know the Lord. And I mean, if anybody wants to hear, you know, I've got like three or four interviews of his that I can play again. But you eventually, of course, married, and he's Jewish. And what about all the Jewish shtick? How did you?
Right. Very important. Let me tell you, that was very important to him. And prior to getting married, we had gotten to know each other very well, of course. And he said, "I just have to ask you two things. Will you convert to Judaism if I ask you to?" So I thought long and hard about it. I said, "Well, I will." And then the second question was, "Will you ever leave the States and move to Israel with me?" And I thought about that a long time, and I said, "I will." And so the story went on is that we went to three different rabbis. Two I was immediately dismissed by, because the question was, "Do you believe in Jesus?" At that time, I tell you Jesus, because that's what it was.
Right.
And they dismissed me immediately. That number one, dismissed. Number two, sit down, same story, goodbye. Third rabbi we came to, and we did this all together. He said, "So you want to convert to Judaism? Why?" I said, "For the unification of our marriage. And that's number one. Number two, we want to raise our children Jewish." So he studied me long and hard. He goes, "But you believe in Jesus in your heart, right?" I said, "That's right." And by the way, I did tell Jonathan, "I'll do all that, but I will not deny Jesus in my heart. And I could never do that." So the third rabbi said, okay, we will never talk about it again. We're going to go through this conversion, and we're never going to talk about that part again." And he didn't. 1 year, we went through conversion classes. And that is the same rabbi that married us. He named our first child. He gave her the Hebrew ceremony, the naming, the whole thing. He's been in our life ever since. He wow. even sent us a letter of his recommendation when we made Aliyah to Israel in 1990.
Oh my goodness, I got chills.
I know.
I got chills.
It was really, really cool. So as far as the Jewishness, I would have to say that I fell in love with Jonathan. So therefore I fell in love with his people. And I really did. And almost every doctor I ever worked for was Jewish. So it was just at the end of the day, it was all so strange and coincidental that it all came together like that. But now I see why, you know, I saw why. And I totally identified with, I mean, I hardly knew my friends anymore. They were foreign to me. Even my family felt foreign to me as the years went on. So when I speak to couples and they ask me, especially the women, they will ask me questions about the marriage, and I will tell them, number one, make him your best friend. Just whatever, make him your best friend, because that is the best way to keep the marriage honed in on, you know, the unit alone. So then the other thing was to make him your best friend, but be like Ruth. And we can quote Ruth, you know, that was my cornerstone for our marriage, me personally. And all I can say is it worked.
Oh, boy.
And his people were my people, to the point today when people say, "Are you Jewish?" Well, yes, I converted, but I honestly feel like I'm part of that group of people. He taught me about the culture just by everyday things, No sit down, this and that. Just being who he was, being surrounded by his people. I was in love with the people as well. So that's what he gave to me in my lifetime, was the meaning of being Jewish, the culture. And then, of course, Israel's another culture where we lived for 7 years, but that was another part of it. And he just had a way, and I knew it was my way. It was going to be my way one day, and it still is.
Oh, wow. Well, I know that he absolutely adored you, and you guys just always made such a striking couple, you know. I have to ask, did he have that big handlebar mustache when you met him?
Yeah, I just finished an article about the man behind the mustache, because everyone can talk about how well he sings. We all know that. And we can talk about all that. But they need to know the man that was really behind that mustache.
Well, tell us about him. Tell us about him.
Well, he was awesome. I mean, I can't even describe how awesome he was. Did we have arguments? You bet. I mean, did we cry? We did everything together, which formed the stronger. That just made the unit get even stronger. So, he was the most giving man, the most caring, the most loving husband. There wasn't anything he wouldn't do. If he thought it would make me the least bit happy, he did it.
Aww.
He would do that. And we just knew each other very well, backwards and forwards.
Mm.
And you know what I mean? It just, wow. I had nothing to compare as far as marriage. I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect. But all I know is Jonathan, and the man behind the music is more powerful sometimes, I believe, than the music itself.
Where are we going to see this article that you wrote?
Yes. It's being edited, and yep. It's going to be in a book, which he wanted me to finish.
Ooh.
We've worked on it for years, and it's a huge part of the book.
I can't wait.
So, Oh, thank you. It'll be fun, because he was a fun guy.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he made me laugh. He made me cry. You know, everything.
Now, I got visions. I got visions of him, like, waking up in the morning and just singing, you know, that booming voice of Jonathan Sattel all around the house singing. Good morning, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're not so much like that at home, but he was very special when he was in the secular world. We did the secular world first, you know, while I waited patiently for him to become a believer, because God promised me this. He will become a believer. My mom was on her knees day and night. And, you know, we went through that secular scene, and he was such a romantic person. And he, you know, sometimes I find more comfort in going back and listening to the old secular day songs that we had together, because, it was very evident then, as well as, you know, when he made the transfer after finding Yeshua, he made that big transfer. And I'll tell you what, you asked me something, and when I really, really came to know Jesus as Yeshua and really into my heart and into my inner soul, like we know as a believer today, was when Jonathan, 3 years into our marriage, 4 years, found Yeshua.
Mm.
When he found Yeshua, and because he always told me, I don't care what you believe, but you keep it in your heart, and I don't want a Bible out in our home. Okay? All right? So that's how we lived for 3 or 4 years, and that was okay. It didn't cause any problem. He didn't stop me from wanting to go to church. I just often chose not to. But when he found the Lord and all of that, which is another whole story, watching him encouraged me like nothing ever in my life. When I saw the change from A to B, I even had his mother say to me, "What happened to him?" And I mean, she was your real Jewish mom, okay? Just answer the question, what's happened to him? And she knew, but she put up her hand before I could answer her. And she said, I know. And that's it. That was the end of the story ever discussed with her. Mm. And she happened to have passed the year after that. And the change in him was like night and day.
Praise God.
Night and day.
Praise God. Wow.
Yes.
This is an amazing discussion. You know, I never knew all this time. I never knew that you converted to Judaism. I didn't really know things from your side of it. Like this is just really fascinating. And it just reinforces what I knew. I knew you had a good marriage. I knew that he adored you and you adored him. But just to hear more of the relationship and just to hear more about it, this has been wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Yes, he told me, make sure you finish our book. He wanted to call it The Untold Story. You know, the side that people really don't see or know or recognize, whatever, you know. And so, yeah, that's the real. And we're, you know, it's Kitty and Kitty Incorporated. If I called him Jonathan, I was pretty mad at him. If he called me Sharon, I was pretty mad at him. Or he was pretty mad at me. But Kitty and Kitty Incorporated was what we became. And that's all due to what happened in our lives.
Wow. Well, I hope to be one of your very first customers as soon as it's as soon as that thing's published, baby. I want one.
You got it. Aww. No problem there. Oh, you're so great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, but we're almost out of time, believe it or not, Bob. But I'm wondering, out of all those songs, those wonderful songs that he recorded, do you have one that you like the most?
Yes. You're talking about on the believing side, correct?
Yeah.
Messianic side. Yeah. Well, I love, love, love the way he does Who Can Satisfy. I mean, it's a mammoth song, and he's a mammoth man, and he stepped up to that, and I never thought that would happen with him, but I literally fall apart when I hear that. Mm. Yeah, it's a great song. It's on one of... don't ask me which album it's on. It's hard to keep track anymore, but it's on one of his albums, and it's called Who Can Satisfy. But there are, of course, many others that I absolutely adore.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, I think when the listeners hear this, they're going to absolutely adore you.
Well, I don't sing. I don't sing. If we had two singers in this family, we would kill each other. You know how that goes.
Well, your daughter Aviva, she sang on one of the CDs.
Oh, wow. Yes. And believe it or not, our son, who, you know, is still building his testimony and has come a long way since Jonathan's passing. He has a lot that's been prophesied over him lately, so stay tuned.
Yes, ma'am. Well, yeah. Sharon, thank you so much for doing this, and I really want to talk to you again sometime, especially when the book is published. We're going to do another interview. Is that a deal?
That is a deal.
Oh, wonderful.
That is a deal. Thank you so much, Ethel.
Oh, you're welcome.
And blessings to all.
Love you so much, and we'll
okay,
talk,
love
we'll talk
you.
Soon. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, I just enjoyed hearing that all over again. What a delightful person. And let's listen to one last song. And this also brings me to tears, as it does Sharon. Who Can Satisfy?
Living water rain down your life on me. Cleansing me, refreshing me with life abundantly. River full of life, I'll go anywhere.
trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful and true? I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, oh my God. And love me like you do. Who could ever be more faithful and true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. Oh, my God. There is a fountain.
Jonathan Sattell, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings. Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yis Adonai Panam Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.